See sunrises around the world is like one thing that I absolutely love. And, you know, I often bring one of my kids. I always want to become better. And that's why I read like so many books. The lady who owned it, she said, we would like to offer you a full time when you finish school. And I said, thanks, but no, I'm going to see the world. When you don't know what you don't know, you actually, you just throw yourself into it. So my overnight success has taken about 18 years.
Yeah.
There were some days where on a Saturday night, I'd much rather go to a store and re-merchandise it. And I brought a bottle of red and I thought, I'm just going to do this, and because I loved it so much. So I think being passionate is so important, because there will be hard days. So there'll be things you don't want to do. But if you love what you do, even those boring things around it becomes manageable because you love what you do.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. I love meeting incredible human beings and sharing their amazing life journeys. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This week's guest is a true power woman. She's the founder of global Swedish design and stationery business KKK, which has products now distributed in over 2,000 stores globally and customers in 147 countries. And she has sold over 50,000 copies of her debut book, Your Dream Life Starts Here. After growing up on a small farm in Sweden, at the age of 22, Christina found herself in a new country, half a world away from family and friends, with little money and no idea what to do with her life. So what was a girl to do? Imagine what her dream life could look like and then make it happen. With deep personal experience of the power of dreaming and then doing, Christina Carlson is on a mission to encourage people all over the world to create and follow their own dreams. Her new dream is to inspire and empower over 101 million people, just like you, to write down their own dreams on paper and set about bringing them to life. Why? Because by dreaming, we can all help make the world a better place. Let's welcome Christina Carlson.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a lovely introduction.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I usually write my own introductions, but you had such a great introduction. So I just made some small changes, and I'm super grateful to have you here in LA. This is the first podcast I do in my personal home. And it kind of reminds me of back in Sweden when you usually meet people at home for fika and coffee, and you brought me coffee this morning, so I'm super grateful for that. And just want to kind of start with your story. How did you end up in Australia?
Yeah, so I grew up very close to where you are from in Sweden. Yeah. I grew up on a farm, and went to school, and then I, you know, spent a year in the US, and then I went to Germany to live, and Austria in a ski resort, and then I met my partner Paul in a ski resort in Austria and decided to follow him to Australia just for a year to kind of just have some fun and explore a new country and spend time with him. And then I loved it so much and decided to stay. So I ended up staying in Melbourne, Australia. So that's how I ended up there.
Wow. And you say you were traveling a lot after high school and all of those things. So like what kind of made you become this person that loves adventure? Was that something you grew up with? Like, how can you just talk about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I often I bring my kids around the world now. I never had that. I never traveled as a kid. So I grew up on a farm. it was work 24/7, and it wasn't really any holidays. And I always dreamt to see the world. And this is, of course, before internet. So yeah. So you knew about the world, but not the way that kids know the world today. But I was always so curious. And my dreams as a kid was always one day I'm going to travel and see the world. So after I finished school, I spent a year in the US, and I was just so curious to explore. And, you know, I came to US to be a nanny for a year in one family. And then I was like, when I've been there for 3 months, I was like, no, I want to explore. I'm here for a year. I want to explore the US. So I decided to work in different places, and I had the best time. And then I got the travel bug, and then I spent a lot of time traveling still, in a different way now than back then.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I've traveled both by myself and with others. And a lot of times, like, traveling with others, it's amazing because you get to share these experiences. Yeah. But sometimes traveling by yourself also gives you another perspective, because you have time to really be with yourself in a place where you can't distract yourself with family or TV, or so you kind of have to get out and talk to people. So I think it makes you grow as a person, right, when you challenge yourself. Let's talk about, like, you're an introvert, you say, and you like being by yourself. So what are your thoughts on, what's the difference between solitude and being lonely?
Solitude for me is like, for me to be alone is regenerating energy and having space to be with others, or having the energy to be with others. Being lonely, I think, is that's where you really need to work on yourself and really be comfortable with yourself. And I think they are two very different spaces to be in. Yeah. I mean, if you feel lonely, you're missing something, or you're longing for something. I spending time on myself, I never ever feel lonely. Like, I'm really excited about it. And I just, for me, we're all so different. But for me, having a night in a hotel room, for some people that is the most boring thing. Well, for me, it's like, I always go to bookshops, and I always pick up a new book, and I always meet interesting people. So when I travel, even though it sounds nice because we're talking about solitude and on my own, I meet so many people, and, you know, I seek out people. For example, I read a book recently, and he's based here in LA, and I thought, I have to meet him. So I'm having a coffee with him this afternoon. So that's awesome. I do travel on my own a lot, but I always meet interesting people. So I get both. So I think being, you know, loving solitude and loving being on your own doesn't mean that you don't like being with people. I think it's just you just have to find the balance that is right for you, and that's different for each person. But for me, that is a night in a great hotel with some good healthy food, and up early see sunrises. See sunrises around the world is like one thing that I absolutely love. And I often bring one of my kids, and then you explore the cities around the world in a different way. So I love both, and I obviously travel with my family, and I do both, but because I travel so much, it's really nice to have the options.
It's so interesting, because I went to a lecture with I don't know if you know who Tom Bilyeu is.
Yes.
Love Tom. So he's a very interesting guy. Created this amazing company, Quest Nutrition, and now he's just investing all his money to create basically a new Disney, right? Which is super cool. And he said something that I've been thinking about, because, like, what I'm trying to do is to redefine success. And his definition of success was how you feel about yourself when you're with yourself. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's right on what I really believe, that we all should aim to find that, whatever that is for each person. But for me, to have the freedom and the time to actually be with yourself, because because it's a difficult thing to be in today's world, because, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have the distractions the same way. You know, grew up on a farm, I spent a lot of time outdoors, and, you know, the television was very, very, you know, it was very, you know, it was like certain programs, certain times. It's obviously very different. Today, I think, the most difficult thing that people are facing is that distraction, because, you know, if you look around at airports and, you know, any public places, most people are sitting with their phones. And I am absolutely part of that, so I'm not saying I'm not doing that, but I'm very conscious of that. And I think if you spend all your time on screens and you spend all your time distracted, but whatever that is, could be screens, could be you know, being with people or doing things all the time, you actually don't have that time to reflect. And I think, to go back to your questions, to actually having that feeling and to be comfortable and knowing yourself, and that doesn't happen overnight. It's like I spend so much time thinking about, you know, where do I want to improve myself, where do I, in what area do I need to stretch myself, and where do I need to grow, and where do I, you know, I always want to become better. And that's why I read like so many books, because, you know, some of my friends, they laugh and said, how many of those kind of books, you know, personal development books or business books do you need to read? And I'm like, that's just, I find it so amazing that someone spends their wisdom in a book, and I can spend $10, whatever it is, and I can just get that, and I will take whatever is relevant for me, and I just love that. So even if most of the personal development books are similar in many ways, I always learn something.
Everybody has a story, and like I get goosebumps when you talk about like you can get a life full of knowledge for like $10, and that's so crazy that we don't take advantage of that. My parents are from Macedonia, so I usually go there, and I went to a bookstore there, and I saw this guy buying like book after book, like 50 or 60 books, and that was equivalent in Macedonian money to 3 months' salary.
Yeah.
So can you imagine someone go out here and buy books for 3 months' salary? That's a lot of money. So I gotta ask him, like, are you like, do you have a library, or what do you do? He's like, no. Every person here has dedicated like maybe 5-10 years or a lifetime to their knowledge, and I get to read that. And like, it's so amazing that we get to do that. And if we don't fill our brain with the good stuff, we're gonna let the shit in, right? So what was the first product that you did?
So the first product was for the home office. So I did a lot of storage boxes, notebooks. I'm also, you know, love handwriting. Still in this day, I love, you know, notebooks and pens, and did a bit of a greeting cards. I love cards. So we started quite small with them.
How did you do that without money?
So I borrowed $3,000 from Paul, and he lend it to me, and then I paid that back and created some products. And then I didn't have money for a retail store, so I asked my friends, could almost like a home party, you know, like the Tupperware kind of style, and said, hey, can you invite 10 friends? And I created a product, I was asking people actually at the time, would you pay, you know, what, $10 for that notebook or whatever? Yeah. Everyone said yes. And it was kind of a little bit too good to be true. So I thought, it's one thing to actually say you're going to pay $10 for that notebook, but it's to give me the $10 is a different story, because it's easy to say, but actually doing it's a different thing. So I asked my friends to invite friends, and I did about 40 of these, and I didn't call them it wasn't like a party or you know, it was more, I call them the focus groups, because I wanted to show my products and I wanted to ask questions about the products. What did you think about this? You know, if you could change anything, what would you change? And I explained what to use them for. So it was like an inspirational, if people didn't know how to take notes, I showed how I did that, or, you know, how I organized my things. So it was an inspiration for those people who came, but it was also for me to get feedback. And then people bought products, and I did about 40 of those, and then I just kept, you know, I kept thinking how I'm going to open a store. You know, I remember a friend saying, you know, you're just going to talk about this, or you're actually going to do it. And I was like, oh, I don't know how we're going to do this.
That hurts.
Yeah, it does hurt. And, but you know, but those things are just the ones that just gets you. It's like, I'm going to find a way. And in the end,
those are the good friends, right?
That yeah, absolutely. Do that. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it wasn't any negative, but it was just more about, oh, I really have to get this going. And, then I couldn't find, you know, any, you know, no banks wanted to help me. I could hardly get a credit card in Australia, let alone a loan. And in the end, Paul had this house that he was owning with a friend, and so he decided to sell it, and we opened the first store. And that was 2001. So we opened our first store. It was the most exciting day.
In Melbourne?
In Melbourne, yeah. In the city in Melbourne. And then from there, we kind of learned, and we won awards for customer service and you know, the Lord Mayor's most innovative store, etc. So we got a lot of media, and then it kind of started that way, and then we finally got an investor involved, and then we grew fast and much wider. So we have over 100 stores, physical KKK stores in 5 countries now. But what I'm most excited about is that we sell to 147 countries online, which blows my mind, because, you know, there are countries that, you know, we haven't promoted in, or we haven't, you know, been to or tried to sell to. So it's an exciting world. And your comment about anyone can do anything because of the the internet and... Yeah. But also another thing, because I'm working very closely with a African lady who's so inspiring, and we met through the dreaming connection, because I'm all about creating, you know, dreaming big and then make your dreams come true. And she's a Zimbabwean lady, and she grew up in a horrible culture where she was married away as an 11-year-old girl, you know, 5 kids before 18, abused every day. And she didn't have any of the things that most of your listeners would have, I'm assuming. So she didn't have internet, she didn't even have the right to go to schools, because it was all the boys that got to go to school. So she had a dream. Someone came, an American lady actually came to her village, and she asked, what are your dreams? And she's like, how can I possibly dream? For me, it's about survival. You know, they had to walk, you know, hours to get water. So she was like, how can I dream? And then this woman persisted. So her dream was, to cut a very long story short, you can read it in my book, but also on my podcast, she's interviewed a couple of times because it's a fascinating story, is that her dream was to get a PhD in America eventually. It took her 20 years and she made it happen. And then she was invited to Oprah Winfrey's show, and she's Oprah Winfrey's all-time favorite guest. And I think Oprah's interviewed like 37,000 people now. And Oprah gave her $1.5 million to open schools in Zimbabwe, because she wanted to go back to the community to help. Mm. So she now have opened 12 schools in Zimbabwe. And when I heard that, because I also want to do, when I wrote my book, I wanted to do some share my wisdom for dreaming, but also give money to something. And I decided to support her, because her schools need to continue. It's one thing to start them, but to have this income coming in. So I'm giving a US dollar per book sold. And my dream is to sell a million copies so I can give her $1 million. But the reason for sharing that story is because when you hear her story, you realize that most of us have internet connection. Yeah. Most of us have freedom, and in terms of, most of us can read and write. Yeah. And if you can do all that, then you can do anything, but you need to start somewhere. And I always have 5 questions that I ask myself and encourage people to do. And that is, what would you do if you couldn't fail? Because I think so many of us think, I can't do it, or I don't know how to do it. But what would you actually do if you couldn't fail? Yeah. And what would you do if you had all the money you needed? Because so many of us think, well, I can't do that because I need to pay rent, I need to pay my kids, or whatever it is. So we all have our own things we restrict ourselves on. But if you had all the money you needed, what would you do? And if you had all the knowledge and the resources and the energy and health and the time to do it, what would you do with your life? And that is a good point coming back to where we started. It's like, if you actually take some time offline and actually ask yourself those questions, what would come to your mind? And sometimes it takes a long time, you know, to find your thing. But I think that is a really good exercise that I encourage everyone to do.
No, I love that exercise. And also when you're saying all these things, I'm kind of, I'm thinking about my own life and how spoiled in a way some of us are that we are even allowed to dream, right?
Mm.
Some people, like, they're surviving. Mm. They're just, they don't have time to think about dreaming. So, I mean, first of all, we need to support those people because everybody, I think, has the right to dream. And second of all, we should also be like, don't take this for granted. Make something, like, do something good with this because it's not, it could be taken away. And just by being, like, we're so lucky that we were born in a country like Sweden, right? Like, that's a lottery ticket, right? We didn't choose that. Yeah. So just kind of being grateful for that. And I'm a little bit curious about dreams. So what, like, how do you even start for people that are like, they have a lot of dreams, but they are like, yeah, that's just a dream. How do you actually put it into action?
Yeah.
Because I think that's where a lot of people kind of fail. They like, I want to do this, but it's too hard. Or maybe, well, just like you, I'm from a small farm. Like, I can't do that. Like, all the people around me, they are farmers. Like, how do I do that?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's why I wrote my book, because I wanted to share that, because it's not just a one thing that you do overnight.
Yeah.
But in my book, I have exercises where you really think through, because you can have, you know, in my book, I have room for 101 dreams, and I don't ever want to limit any dreams. And, you know, I have much more than that. But first, to actually take some time to think what is important to you, because we can all have dreams, but we don't really know if they're really true dreams to ourselves. You know, there are sometimes we have dreams that we think we want. You know, a lot of people say, I want financial freedom, but do you really want that? Do you really want to spend time, you know, reading about that, learning about that, and actually doing something about it? Yeah. And maybe they do, but they don't, the action is not taken. So maybe they just say it, so there's often a gap. And I think taking the time to just put a lot of dreams, you know, asking yourself, you know, what would you do if you couldn't fail? If you had all the money, resources, knowledge, the time, energy, what would you do with your life? And then start a list and things will come up, and just do it often. And the more you dream, the more you do. And I actually have on our website, so just geekyk.com/dreamlife, I have recorded a free audio guide that people can access.
That's awesome. We'll put the link.
Yeah. And that's what, so there's two different ones. One is a general one, but there's one that I'm also doing specifically. So if you could live your dream life within your, you know, being healthy, what would that be? And for your community and for your hobbies, like, so you can think about, you know, you can compartmentalize them and do dreaming in different areas. But once you do that, then you might sit there with, you know, 101 dreams. But the exercise that I have in the book is like, also, you know, what are your values? You know, what is important to you? What are your passions? And there's a lot of exercises that you need to do. And this is, again, coming back to really knowing yourself and really taking the time. It's not like you will do that in 10 minutes and then you know all your dreams. It's something that you really need to do often and spend, you know, for my podcast, when you're going to be on my podcast, I really want to talk a lot about morning rituals, because I think a lot of us live busy lives or full lives. I try not to use the word busy, but we often fill our lives. And if we don't have something to do, we often spend the rest on screens. So we don't take that time. But I think if everyone starts in the morning by spending an hour or half an hour, whatever it is, and, you know, there are a lot of people who are listening saying, well, I can't do that because I have kids. But I actually get it. I have kids too. So I get up an hour earlier. And then it's like, well, I can't do that because I'll be too tired. But then he's like, that's what you have to decide. Like, so for me, I go to bed early because I want that morning hour. Not always. I'm not perfect in any way. But you have to decide what is important to you. And there is a book that I'm actually referencing in my book called, I think it's The Five Regrets of the Dying. And she's actually an Australian palliative caretaker.
I know, that's an amazing, her story is amazing.
It is an amazing. And she basically spent time with people dying. And for those people who don't know the book, and she interviewed them about their regrets in life. And the most common regret, the number one, was that people at the end of their life wish that they lived a life that was true to themselves, because we are so influenced by maybe parents, teachers, you know, trainers perhaps for you, whatever, you know, peers, friends, social media, whatever it is. And I think we sometimes forget, and this, you know, this will also come with age in terms of wisdom, you know, you learn as you get older. But I think if everyone understands that, regardless, because we, you know, some people had the most horrific upbringing and the most difficult times, but regardless of all that, there is only one person that can make a difference in your life, and that is yourself. You know, so if we know that and we take that as a reminder every day that regardless of what happened to me as a child, or, you know, people told me certain things that I can't do things, it's only you who can decide if you want to take that on or not. And to take a dream into action is, like, I think the most important thing is to decide what you're going to focus on, because if you have 101 dreams and you do a little bit of each, you're probably not going to achieve it. So I encourage everyone to choose three dreams. Could be three dreams that you can do within a year, or it could be one dream that is like, for one of my big dreams is to build my own dream home one day.
Yeah.
It's not one something that I work on every single day, but I have it on my vision board and I think about it. And for that, to make that happen, I need to make more money. So then what do I need to do in that? And in my book, I have a step on choosing this, three dreams, and then, you know, choosing the actions to go with that, because then, so it's a little bit hard to explain that, but I, in a short time, but
that's good. That's a teaser to buy the book.
But we all know how to take action, but it's a kind of just really choosing. I actually encourage people in the book to choose 7 actions to start with, because if you have 100 actions, it might be feeling overwhelming, but I encourage everyone to write down the 100 actions if that's what it is, but then choose the most important 7 that will actually get you there.
Yeah.
Just so we could then decide, well, this is what I'm going to focus on. But, you know, there's one thing which I think is worth sharing. I never think about, like, so if, for example, if I have a dream on, one of my dreams is actually to run half a marathon, which I never ever thought. Like, I'm not a runner, and I never ever thought that would come up. But I just decided I needed a challenge, and, you know, I've read.
Come here November 3rd. Let's do a Malibu half marathon together. It's November 3rd.
Maybe not. I might need some more time.
I'm wing a half marathon. A full marathon is hard, but like a half marathon, wing.
That's why I did it, and there's a beautiful story behind why I'm doing it. But what I was gonna say is I always look at who versus what to start with. So if I have a dream by, you know, running half a marathon, for example, I took this as an example because everyone can relate to this kind of dream. So I didn't decide to just what, like the training, all that stuff. That's kind of the easy part. But I was like, who has done this before?
Yeah.
So I called a few friends and saying, when you did this, what did you do?
Yeah.
And, you know, they've shared, and, you know, one of the girls shared, she had a great running coach, and I know that my running style is not great. So I thought that's going to be one of my 7 steps. So, so asking who is a really, really good question. So even if you have a good dream that you're not sure about, to have coffee with someone who's done it before or something similar. So for example, if you, one of the dreams is to start your own business, look around, like who first do you admire that have a business? you know, could I, if you don't know him, has he written a book? Has he been on a podcast? Or has she, you know, is she talking somewhere? So you can always learn. So, because a lot of people say, well, you know so many people. And I'm like, yeah, but that's because I'm always out there asking people. I didn't know them.
And also investing in all these events, and like those things doesn't come. You have to give.
Yeah.
And like, we're all about sharing journeys, but we want people to take action, and they have received a lot of things that they can take action on. But if there's only one thing that they should do when they're done listening to this podcast, what would that be?
I think take an hour, whenever that is, if it's not morning, whenever that is, just take 1 hour, turn the phone off, or actually even remove your phone. Even seeing your phone sometimes makes you want to look at it. So yeah, just put your phone away, spend 1 hour, and take a journal and a pen and write down what you would do if you couldn't fail. And if you want to continue, I will do the 5 questions. So what would you do if you couldn't fail, if you had all the money, the resources, the knowledge, the time and the energy to do anything in your life, what would you do? That's what I would start with. Because once you start that, it gets you really excited. And there are some people that have shared with me that they kind of had all these dreams within them, but once you put it on paper, it becomes more real. And then maybe go and share it with someone. And some people always say, well, you know, if I share it to my parents, they will say, you can't do it. And I said, yeah, let's find someone in your life that is inspiring, and share maybe one of your dreams. Because I think sharing is so powerful, because you never know who can help you with that.
No, I love that. And I totally agree with you. Writing down, it's like everything I've written down, it's kind of scary how it actually turns out. Like, wow, be careful what you wish for, right? Yeah. And also sharing with the right people. I totally agree on that. Kiki, this has been lovely. You're an incredible human being.
Oh, thank you.
I'm super grateful that we got to do this. You're just in LA for a day or two. And we made this happen coming all the way from Melbourne. So thank you so much. If people want to connect more with you or buy your products, where can they find you?
So I think in terms of connecting with me personally, it's through Instagram. That's where I'm most active. So it's Christina Kiki K, so K-I-K-K-I on Instagram. And then the website is kiki-k.com. And if you wanted to learn more about what I've spoken about, you do /dreamlife. And that's where the audio guide, free audio guides are. And there is a hashtag. So if anyone starts to dream, there's a hashtag called 101 million dreamers. And if you tag on that, then I will follow that. And then if you share dreams that I'll be able to help with, I definitely will. So it's I follow that hashtag, and it's fascinating what dreams people are working on, and I love that. So that's the way of connecting with me.
Awesome. Thank you. And if there's anything we can do to help you on your mission, please let us know. We're all about this. And I want to thank everybody who took the time to listen and watch this episode. For me to achieve my dream, and for Kiki, we need people, we need a community. So if you like what we're doing, share this with someone who can benefit from it. Give us a review on iTunes so more people can find us. And if you want more amazing conversations, visit ilovesuccess.co. Have hundreds of these incredible people just like Kiki who share so open-heartedly. So the knowledge is there. Now the question is, what are you going to do with that knowledge in your life? Thank you so much, and talk soon.